Good morning. I would like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. The first order of business, letter of notification. Ladies and gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the state of Louisiana, from the Advocate Official Journal for the state of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 44385 through 44420 have been advertised in accordance with and under provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30, Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. There are no letters of protest for today's sale, and no tracts will be recommended to be withdrawn, and we will proceed with the opening of bids.
Good morning. We did not receive any bids on tracts 44385 through 44388. We did receive one bid on tract 44389, advertised as 605 acres, and the bid is for a portion containing 10.655 acres. 10.655 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One, LP. Hillcore Energy One, LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $2,397.38. $2,397.38, or a per acre value of $225. Annual rentals are $1,198.69. $1,198.69. Royalties are 21%. We did not receive any bids on tracts 44390 through 44393. We did receive one bid on tract 44394. Advertised as 33 acres. And the bid is for the entire tract. And the bidder is South Louisiana Minerals, Inc. South Louisiana Minerals, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $8,250. $8,250. Or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $4,125. $4,125. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on tract 44395, advertised as 30 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. And the bidder is South Louisiana Minerals, Inc. South Louisiana Minerals, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $7,500. $7,500, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $3,750. $3,750. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracts 44396. We did receive one bid on tract 44397, advertises 2,144 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 196 acres. 196 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $49,000. $49,000. Or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $24,500. $24,500. Royalties are 21%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44398 through 44403. We did receive one bid on track 44404, advertised as 2,189 acres. This bid is for a portion containing 117.24 acres. 117.24 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $29,310. $29,310, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $14,655. $14,655. Royalties are 21%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44405 through 44419. We did receive one bid on track 44420, advertised as 12 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 0.14 acres. 0.14 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $35. $35. Or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $17.50. $17.50. Royalties are 21%. That will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We will adjourn the opening of the bids meeting. The committee meetings will begin around 9:30. Thank you.
Good morning. A roll call, Mr. Hike, Mr. Sanders, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Schutz, and Mr. Lambert.
Neodyne Resources Incorporated. Sampson Resources Corporation filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy on September 16, 2015, and please note this should say two of Sampson Resources Corporation affiliates or royalty payers. Sampson Contour Energy E&P LLC has been a payer of record since January 1986. Total royalty paid to date is $39,467,055.62. Sampson Contour was audited in 1998, 2000, 2003, and 2011. Sampson Contour Energy E&P LLC has been added to the current year's audit cycle. Geodyne Resources, Inc. was a payer of record from April of 89 through May of 89. The total paid for that period was $1,213.17. Staff recommends that the audit of Geodyne Resources, Inc. be removed from the 2016 audit schedule, given the immaterial amount of royalty paid over a very short period of time, no royalty is at risk.
I'd like to make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Are there any questions or comments from the board? Any public comments at this time? I have a motion from Mr. Arnold, a second from Mr. Lambert. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Item two is a staff report on the Black Elk Energy Offshore Operations bankruptcy. Black Elk filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy on September 15, 2015. Black Elk has been a payer of record since February 2008. Total royalty paid to date is $9,871,402.58. Black Elk Energy Offshore Operations was audited in 2011. Black Elk has been added to the current year's audit schedule. Item number three is a request to exclude Forest Oil Corporation from the 2016 audit schedule. Forest Oil filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy on July 15, 2015. Forest was a payer of record from February 1998 through January 2013. Total royalty paid was $96,114,241.37. A closeout audit of Forest was performed in May 2015. The audit resulted in no findings. Texas Petroleum Investment Company has assumed all of Forest's state leases in January 2013 and is currently under audit. Staff recommends that the audit of Forest Oil Corporation be removed from the 2016 audit schedule because no royalty is at risk.
Sanders moves to approve.
Are there any other questions from the board? Any public comment at this time? I have a motion from Mr. Sanders, a second from Mr. Lambert. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item number four is a proposal to rescind the resolution dated November 13, 1968, regarding recoupments of overpayments of gas prices due to the Federal Power Commission and its Southern Louisiana area rates. The resolution was based upon the FERC rates. FERC stopped regulating natural gas prices at the wellhead during the 1980s. Contract prices are generally audited for comparability to market rates. Staff recommends rescission.
I make a motion to rescind.
Second, Sanders.
Are there any other questions from the public? I have a motion from Mr. Arnold, a second from Mr. Sanders to accept and approve the reports, reviews, and recommendations. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item number five is a proposal to rescind the resolution dated November 13, 1968, regarding a pending stay order by FERC and the board's decision to continue requiring payments on the latest approved contract price. Again, it was based on FERC rates, and FERC no longer does this. Staff recommends rescission.
Make a motion to rescind.
Second, Sanders.
I have a motion from Mr. Arnold, a second from Mr. Sanders. Are there any public questions at this time? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item number six is a proposal to rescind the resolution dated May 12, 1971, regarding guidelines for payment of royalty on processed gas from state leases. The resolution was a result of a 1970s lawsuit involving Humble Oil and Refining Company. Humble wholly owned the Garden City gas plant during that time. The lawsuit pertained to gas severance taxes and exemptions. The board created this resolution to ensure compliance for processed gas. Per the resolution, the audit director was to review on a biennial basis the volumes and sources of the gas processed and provide a report to the board on any significant changes. The lawsuit has since been settled, and this procedure is no longer used or relevant. A review of volumes and sources of gas processed is incorporated into our field audit process, and any issues that are noted related to that are brought before the board. Staff recommends rescission.
Any questions from the board?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Just a rhetorical question, sort of. It appears with all these resolutions that we're rescinding, staff must be going through old documents, and we're just cleaning up the files. Is that, that's not negative to that?
No, yes, sir, that's correct.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions from the board?
I make a motion to rescind.
Second.
Any public questions? I have a motion from Mr. Arnold, a second from Mr. Sanders to accept the recommendations. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
We're almost there. Item 7 is a proposal to rescind the resolution dated February 9, 1972, regarding FERC amendments to Southern Louisiana area rates for gas produced in and off the shores of Louisiana. Again, it's the same situation. FERC no longer does this. So staff recommends rescission.
Make a motion to rescind.
Any questions from the public? I have a motion from Mr. Arnold, a second from Mr. Sanders. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item number 8 is a proposal to rescind the resolution dated April 12, 1972, which authorized the audit director to review and approve royalties, rental payments, and in-lieu royalties made to the state land office. This resolution is outdated. Royalties, rental payments, and in-lieu royalties are made to and collected by the Office of Mineral Resources. Staff recommends rescission.
Make a motion to rescind.
Second, Sanders.
Any public questions? I have a motion from Mr. Arnold, second from Mr. Sanders. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And finally, item number 9 is a staff report to the committee that the election for October 2015 gas royalty is to be paid on a process basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Tax Code Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you. I have a motion to adjourn from Mr. Schutz, a second from Mr. Lambert. All in favor? The audit committee meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.
I take roll call for lease review committee. Mr. Lambert? Mrs. Smith? Mr. Schutz? Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Hike? With myself, we do have a quorum. Good morning, gentlemen. I appoint you all as designee.
Good morning. Chairman Arnold and members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. There are 1,635 active leases covering nearly 700,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 122 leases covering approximately 75,000 acres. And of those 122 are 3 leases discussed in more detail today. Let's begin with State Lease 199A and 199-A1. Bay St. Lane Field, Hillcorp Energy Resources is our lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on March 11, 2014. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Hillcorp's development plan and that they be required to provide a status update on these plans by March 11, 2015. On June 10, 2015, Hillcorp submitted a status update on their accomplishments from their previous development plan within the Bay St. Lane field. The highlights of their accomplishments include: one of the two wells previously planned to be drilled, sidetracked in the Bay St. Lane Unit 13, was sidetracked and completed at the cost of approximately $10 million. They recompleted 4 wells, including the Bay St. Lane Unit 3, number 58 well, previously mentioned in the last year's plan of development. Recompletion cost totaled $3.4 million. They returned three wells to production, a cost of approximately $105,000. In 2014 to 2015, activity has resulted in adding 1,200 barrel oil equivalent per day to the field. Their seismic reprocessing work over the field is nearing completion. Due to the sharp drop in commodity prices, Hillcorp did request that they be granted 2 years before submitting the next lease development update. The staff, though, is recommending accepting Hillcorp's status update and grant Hillcorp until October 12, 2016 to submit an updated status report on their lease development activity. So we're going to narrow it to a year.
Okay, you've heard staff's report recommendations. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there a motion to accept? Move by Mr. Sanders. Second by Mr. Smith. Anyone opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Item two.
Item two, State Lease 340C selection, designated areas 1 through 5. It's in the Rabbit Island field. Our lessees are Shoreline Southeast, Castex Energy Development Fund, and Rabbit Island LP. The staff is bringing the reassigned acreage on 340 at Rabbit Island to be included on the lease review committee agenda today. This acreage is comprised of some 20,167 acres and is controlled by the parties listed above. As in similar fashion to other reassigned acreage of State Lease 340 at West Coast Blanche Bay and Belle Isle Fields, it is the desire of the staff to put this acreage on a drill drop schedule. However, prior to such action, the staff desires to extend to these parties the opportunity to meet with the staff to discuss their plan of development for designated areas 1 through 5. Staff recommends that the parties be granted until February 10, 2016 to meet with the staff to present a definite plan of development for the designated areas, or in lieu thereof, their plans to release the non-producing state lease acreage.
Thank you. You've heard staff's report and recommendation. Any comments or questions from the committee? I have one comment. As you know, State Lease 340 holds a special place in my heart. the original acreage in the whole lease, how much of that has been returned for development?
I don't exactly know that number. I know we got a big piece of acreage, some 30,000 acres from McMoran at Mound Point and Lighthouse Point, and that certainly was a significant amount of acreage returned to the state. And our goal is simply to get down as we put these portions of 340 on drill drop. We get these 3,000, 4,000 acre releases so that we're whittling down 340.
No, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And we'll bring the answer to that question to the next board meeting. I believe it's in the neighborhood of 80% has been returned to Commerce. We had calculated that when the Attorney General did their report.
Exactly.
Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from the public? We have a motion to approve staff's recommendation. Move by Mr. Schutz, second by Mr. Smith. Anyone not in favor of this motion passing? Hearing none. The motion carries. Item three.
State Lease 17156, Vermilion Block 16 Field, Harvest Oil and Gas is our lessee. This committee was last reviewed on August 12, 2015. The board adopted the committee's recommendation that Harvest proceed with unitization of the State Lease 17156 number one well into either commissioner's unit or a voluntary unit by September 9, 2015. Upon creation of the pooling unit, Harvest would be required to release all acreage outside the unit within 30 days. Upon Harvest's receipt of the August 13, 2015 Lease Review Committee letter, Harvest did contact the OMR staff expressing their wish to meet about the requirements as outlined in the letter. On September 16, 2015, a meeting was held between Harvest and the staff. And during the course of that meeting, Harvest expressed their interest to enter into a voluntary unit agreement over the lease. In addition, Harvest offered a release of approximately 200 acres from the lease. The details of the VUA continue to be negotiated with Harvest. Staff recommends that the board action be deferred while staff negotiates the release of acreage and the formation of a voluntary unit for the remaining acreage.
You heard the staff's report and recommendations. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there a motion in favor of staff's recommendation? Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Lambert. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. The motion is passed. Item on four.
On item four, we do have a request for rescinding a board resolution dated January 15, 1959. This resolution required that all unitization agreements include a 90-day termination clause to commence drilling. At that time, many of the major oil and gas companies had long-term contracts with rig companies, which in turn offer greater availability to a rig necessary to meet a drilling deadline. It was not uncommon during that time for multiple rigs to be running continuous in a field. However, within the last 20 years, the replacement of the major oil and gas companies operating within the state with much smaller independents have led to rig contracts with much shorter durations and more confining terms. The 1959 clause is simply out of step with the changes in the financial resources available to independents in today's market. The ability for today's independents to drill a voluntary unit well within the constraints of the 1959 clause creates an unreasonable burden on the lessee and operator. A more reasonable period of time is 1 year, which allows for the operator to shore up capital, establish equity in the VU, assign the necessary working interest to fund the drilling, and to secure a drilling contract. The current standard voluntary unit agreement includes a 1 year termination clause, but that even that period could be negotiated when the staff meets with a company.
Thank you. Heard staff's report and recommendation. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there a motion to rescind? Move on, Mr. Hike. Second by Mr. Lambert. Anyone opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Force majeure report.
Yes, sir. I have one update on one item on the report. At the October meeting, we recommended to the board that they extend recognition of the force majeure for 1 month and provide that the energy properties come in and meet with us. We met with Energy Properties and Boardwalk Pipeline Partners LP on October 6, 2015 to discuss the status of negotiations and actions required to restore State Lease 725 to productive status. Energy Properties and Boardwalk reported that they signed an agreement in principle and now needed time to secure a FERC permit because they have to transfer the property. So, as a result of the meeting, after the staff discussed the matter, we presented to them the following recommendation. We present to the board. Staff will recommend an extension of 1 month to the November 12, 2015 board meeting. If proof of application has been filed with FERC is received by the staff no later than November 10, 2015, then the staff will recommend an extension of an additional 6 months. If the application is not filed by November 10th, 2015, then the staff will recommend that we rescind the force majeure at the November 12th, 2015 board meeting. You know, as always, with all these reports, they're required to make monthly reports, and the board will reserve its right to reconsider this matter at any time during that period.
Thank you. You heard the staff's report and recommendations to extend it to November 12th. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there a motion to that effect, please? Moved by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Schutz. Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Thank you. There being no further items on the agenda, we are adjourned. Thank you. There'll be no further items on the agenda. We adjourn. I take roll call for nomination track committee. Mr. Lambert? Mrs. Smith? Mrs. Smith? Mrs. Schutz? Mrs. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Morton? Mr. Hike? With myself, we do have a quorum. This is nomination track, correct?
It is.
Good. I see the same two guys up there. Mr. Fine, I'm going to point you out as a designee.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Members of the board. Approval by the board was previously granted to the staff to process and advertise 36 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parish wherein the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the October 8, 2014 mineral lease sale, this office received 14 nominations for advertisement. Item B is a request by staff to rescind the resolutions dated March 14, 1973, April the 11th, 1973, July the 11th, 1973, January the 9th, 1974, and July the 13th, 2011, that adopted a rider and amendments thereto for attachment to the 1966 Louisiana State Lease Form and made a part of all state leases thereafter, granted or awarded. The said resolutions are no longer necessary because those provisions in the rider and amendments have been incorporated into the present lease form. The staff recommends that the board rescind the aforementioned resolutions.
Thank you. Any comments or questions to the staff? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there a motion to approve? Moved by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Sanders. Anyone opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries.
Item C is a request by staff to rescind the resolution dated June the 20th, 1963 that suspended the board's authority to consider recoupment agreements on title disputed lands and water bottoms leased. The said resolution is no longer required because of the implementation of an escrow procedure for processing royalty payments on such title disputed lands. Therefore, the staff recommends that the board rescind the aforementioned resolution.
Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public regarding this rescission? Is there a motion to rescind? Moved by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Lambert. Anyone opposed? Hearing none, it is rescinded.
And the final item is 56 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the December 9th, 2015 lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. For the December 10th, 2014 mineral lease sale, this office received 22 nominations for advertisement. The staff recommends that they be given authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the December 9th, 2015 mineral lease sale.
Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Can I have a motion to approve? Moved by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Sanders. Anyone opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries.
That completes all of the agenda items.
Thank you. There's no further items on the agenda. We are adjourned.
Call to order the Legal and Title Controversy Committee. Mr. Heck, you going to present today or?
Mr. I'm just here for ornamental purposes. Mr. Fontenot is going to present.
You're designating him, huh?
Correct.
That's for a good designation.
For today.
For today.
We're going to have a roll call first. Please, Ms. Davis.
Mr. Arnold. Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Schutz.
Here.
Mr. Cordero. Mr. Sanders.
Present.
Mr. Smith. Mr. Bruyette. Mr. Klein. Mr. Morton. Mr. Lambert. Mr. Hike. Mr. Chairman, we have 8 members present and a quorum.
Ready to proceed?
Yes, sir, I am.
Thank you very much.
Item number one is an assertion by Fieldwood Energy, LLC, Apache Self Exploration, LLC, as lessees, that the release of oil and gas lease executed by lessees filed of record on July the 15th, 2015, and recorded under file number 336219 in the conveyance records of Cameron Parish was mistakenly and erroneously executed and recorded by lessees. Further, lessees request that the board accept the rescission, annulment, and cancellation of said release, rescind any acceptance by the board of the release, and acknowledge that the release has no effect on Louisiana State Lease Number 16473. So staff recommends that the board accept lessee's rescission, annulment, and cancellation of said release, rescind any acceptance by the board of said release, and acknowledge that the release has no effect on State Lease Number 16473.
Thank you, sir. What's the pleasure of the board?
Yeah, I got a question. How does that happen?
It was human error. They had a new personnel that was in the group with Apache Corporation that is no longer a part of this. It gets a little complicated, but they had released their interest. There was only Shell, Apache Shell, and Fieldwood, and when they created the release, it just slipped through the cracks.
Jeez. Thanks.
Do we require any action on that?
Yes, sir.
I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
For a motion, do I hear a second? Thank you. I have a second for Mr. Lambert. Any public comment? Any board comment? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Item number two is a report to the board regarding the proposed new lease forms pertaining to the financial security provision and the general liability insurance. Staff presents for your consideration the final two new provisions for the revised lease form, copies of which are included in your binders. Given the complexity of the two provisions, staff has exhaustively researched and labored over the wording of these provisions. As far as the financial security is concerned, this provision requires financial security for plugging and abandoning and site restoration of each well drilled on state acreage. The provision applies only to those occasions in which security is not required by the operator of the operator by the Office of Conservation. Given the manner in which conservation now enforces its regulations, this should seldom occur. This provision was developed after thoughtful consideration of public comments and an analysis of other state practices. Importantly, lessees will have the ability to select from alternative financial security options in accordance with conservation's regulations. And to the general liability insurance, this provision too was drafted after an analysis of other states' practices and with considerable input from the public. The current lessee lease form has no requirements for insurance. As prudent administrators, we believe standard commercial general liability insurance is warranted. We have been assured that coverage for environmental damage is available, reasonably priced, and that many operators currently carry such coverage as a rider or endorsement to their regular general liability policy. We further have taken into consideration concerns expressed by landmen and brokers by requiring such coverage to be in place 30 days prior to the commencement of service activity on the lease rather than at the time the lease is awarded. Lessees will be required to annually provide proof of coverage and notify the board if coverage is suspended or canceled. We have included penalty provisions to comply with this requirement, but imposition will only be after lessees are given notice and afforded an opportunity to cure the problem. Importantly, we included a provision which allows lessee to satisfy this insurance provision by providing proof that their operators have obtained and continually will contain such coverage. Recommendation: staff recommends that the board grant authority to post these two provisions on DNR's website for public review and comment. Staff further recommends that the deadline for public comment be November the 10th, 2015.
Chairman has a question before we proceed. On the insurance issue, what is built in there to give us assurances that we are going to be notified promptly if there is a change in the insurance status? I didn't hear you mention that we might be named as an additional insured on these general liability policies.
We are.
Or are we?
Yes, we are.
And you would anticipate then that if we're an additional insured, although we didn't purchase the policy, that the agent who issued the policy and the insurance company or the insurance company who issued the policy would then give us notice if there was some problem with that.
Yeah, we have staff that coordinates that in the technical end of it, and we follow that to make sure that we have been named and we are part of the insurance coverage.
I was just thinking back about we're depending on the, and I'm not castigating or disparaging to any of the clients of the state, we're depending on the lessee to tell us if there's an insurance problem, unless we are getting notice from the insurance carrier that there's a problem. I'm just thinking back to my days of practicing that law.
Yes, sir.
Don't know yet, huh?
Don't know.
Well, we'll think about it.
Think about it, yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Yes, sir.
I got a question on the financial security issue. I don't quite understand what we're saying here. Are we saying in that section that whatever the Office of Conservation, I don't mean to cast aspersions, but whatever the rules and regulations are of the Office of Conservation, if they comply with that, then that's all that's necessary to be put into the lease. Is that right? In other words,
yes.
In other words, the lease form is not requiring any financial security. It's simply saying whatever the rules and regulations of conservation is, if in fact they comply with that, then that is satisfies the lease obligation.
Yeah, is that
what this section says?
We have people from conservation that our legal staff has been working with, and maybe they can address that question better than I can.
The answer to your question is yes.
Yes.
And we have John Adams with the Office of Conservation here if you have any questions about their process or procedure. Okay, let me see if I understand what you just said. Basically, what you said was that prior to this particular change, as long as that lessee was operating for a number of years and in good standing, there would be no need for financial security. Correct? Prior, yes. Now you're saying that no longer is going to be in the lease or the leases in the future. Okay. As of September 1st.
All right. And so what replaces that? Based on
the requirements of the Office of Conservation, their rules and regulations. Well, my question would be why? I mean, why not put something definite in the lease as to what the financial security should be?
Well, it is definite in that it piggybacks on conservation's requirements.
Well, I understand that. I mean,
and so the only way our provision would be necessary is if conservation, for some reason, exempted a particular well or operator.
Basically, what we're saying is that whatever the Office of Conservation states with regards to their rules and regulations as far as financial security is concerned, that is what's going to be in the lease, and that is what the lessee must comply with.
That is correct.
Why would we not put in some type of definitive financial security in the lease?
Well, conservation...
Or some type of guideline for financial security.
Conservation's current regs, which implemented September 1st and are actually going to strengthen through next spring as well, are very, very much different than they have been before.
But that doesn't answer my question. I understand the rules and regulations all, but my question is, why would we not put in a lease certain benchmarks for financial security itself? Why do we leave that to rules and regulations of the Office of Conservation?
In addition, the Office of Conservation will be implementing those requirements.
Mr. Hike, I think I understand your question, which is that they shall comply with the Office of Conservation's financial security standards, but you're wanting us maybe to build in something, but it should be no less than X amount, that kind of thing, in case they lowered their standards to something like ridiculous, like $10 a well. Is that what you're looking for?
My concern is not necessarily with the Office of Conservation. My concern would be to any office where it's left to the discretion, even if it is rules and regulations which are promulgated by the Procedures Act, the participation in those hearings that produce rules and regulations, as we all know, is extremely limited in terms of public involvement. And therefore, that's why I question leaving that to the, not to the whim, but to the judgment, if you will, of whomever is proposing a rule or regulation through an office. And so my thought was that there should be certain benchmarks in the lease itself with regards to financial security, rather than leaving it to a department and a proposed rule in a department. I understand what the Secretary is saying, and it does sound to me like there is built-in safeguards, if you will. If I had to criticize what I'm just saying, I would say that maybe one shoe doesn't fit all, and that's why it shouldn't be in the lease. But I'm not sure that outweighs the fact that we would divest ourselves, when I say ourselves, I'm talking about the state, divest ourselves from requiring certain security within a lease, divest it to an office, whether it be the Office of Conservation, the Office of the Department of Health, or any other state office. That's what is kind of in my craw, if you understand what I'm saying. Maybe so. That's my concern about that particular method of financial security, to leaving it to someone else based upon rules and regulations promulgated by the Administrative Procedures Act, which I understand. But as we all know, and if you haven't participated in those type of hearings, for the most part, they're very, very limited in participation, because I have. I'm not comfortable with that.
And there are some statutory standards as well.
Put them in the lease. Put them in the lease. Don't talk about it. Put it in the lease.
Make it
a requirement in the lease.
Mr. Reich, I think you make a good point, and we will revisit that language and look at revising it and bringing something back next month. So, I think the staff recommendation will be revised just to publish the insurance requirements provision this month.
I think that would be wise, in my opinion. I don't know. And I second that.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second.
Based on what you motion.
Is there any public comment on this motion? Yes, sir. Please come up here and state your name for the record so the court reporter can get it down before us, please, sir. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Isaac Jackson. And
good morning to you, Ike.
Yes.
Good morning, sir.
I do want to echo Mr. Hicks' concern, because y'all may recall that, I don't know if you know this, since 1996, every single state mineral lease has been required to have a site-specific trust account. I doubt if we have 40 site-specific trust accounts. That would have kind of eliminated that problem, but that shows you the danger of really just relying on another office to do your work for you. I agree that this ought to be in your contract, and it ought to be, if not carried through, it ought to be a breach of contract. I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you for your comment, Mr. Ike. Any further comment? Any objection to the motion? We have a second down there for Mr. Lambert.
We had a second already.
I thought we had a second.
I second the Secretary's motion.
Any further? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries. Thank you.
All right. We have 13 items on the agenda. Item number 3 will be a report by staff to the board regarding additional information about deep rights. We have a presentation, and then once that is over, we will continue with items 4 through 13.
Move on.
Good morning. At the last board meeting, I believe there was a question about the deep rights provision. The deep rights provision was one of the things when the staff was contemplating the new state lease form. This was one of the things that we threw into the laundry basket for us to look at, and also at some point to present to industry to have their comments in instituting a deep rights provision. We looked at other states that had what their lease forms required. Out of the 9 oil-producing states, 4 of them did have some type of deep rights provision. In Oklahoma, you can retain the deep rights after the primary term, but you have to pay a 50% bonus to do that. Mississippi has a deep rights provision, retain acreage only to the base of the deepest production. Texas has a deep rights provision, basically after 2 years after the expiration of the primary term, if you want to maintain the deep rights, you have to pay a 50% bonus. Right now, the current lease form that the state has, there are no deep rights provision in that lease form. What I wanted to do, when we were looking at the deep rights provision, what we were looking at is, you know, how can we manage this deep rights provision with the current software application that exists within the department and the current mapping software that we use for our GIS. And in doing so, we identified that we would have some serious problems in tracking, maintaining, and administering any deep rights provision. Currently, on the state lease form that we currently have, if we have state lease A, state lease B, we have wells on either one of those leases, and these wells are not unitized, the entirety of the state lease acreage within each lease and all rights, all depths are maintained. The current lease form, we also have what is referred to as a deferred development language. On state lease A, if you unitize the 6,000 foot sand, you have a sand unit, and that's your only production after the primary term, you can maintain the outside acreage, which is the acreage that's in orange, by paying a deferred development period. You can also reduce your rental by paying a deferred development period during the primary term if you have that unit production. The same thing for state lease B. That would be maintained by deferred development. If they didn't pay it, then they would have to release it back to the state. State lease A and state lease B, current language, you have multitude of units. As long as the units are maintained, the acreage within the unit is maintained. You release the outside acreage, which is the orange and the purple unit, after primary term if you do not want to pay deferred development. But during the production and while the lease is in production, all little crosshatched areas, these are little pie shape, whatever shape it can be, areas that once that unit goes off production, if the acreage within the unit is not included in some other unit, that acreage has to be released. We get a multitude of these piecemeal releases as wells go off production, the units go off production, they'll have to release the acreage. This is something that we can track now. We, in Sunrise, all the production that is maintaining a lease is set up in property and is reported to the production is reported to the commissioner by Lew Code, and we monitor these leases. As we've said in the past, each lease is reviewed once a year, and we check for production. If we see that one of these units has gone off production, like right in there, we will, at that point, commence a route sheet. The land section will request a release, and the company can release that part. So we these leases start getting kind of nickel and dime smaller and smaller as wells and units go off production. The current lease language, as I said, State Lease A, we have lease production. The lease is maintained as to all the acreage and all depths. The older leases, we do not have the deferred development language. It is our job in G&E to ensure that that lease is being developed. And we bring those leases up before the committee. We recommend that we either place the lessee on demand, place them in default for not developing, try to get them on a drill or release schedule where at least we're getting something back if they don't develop the lease. State Lease B, both wells are unitized. So for a unitized lease in the current lease form, what you end up doing is that if you don't pay the deferred development, then you have to release the acreage, the outside acreage on the orange or a green acreage, whatever color that is. But they have to release it, or during the deferred development period, they can make a payment to retain the acreage. But at the end of the deferred development period, which is 2 years past the primary term, they would have to release that. But they retain all depths. If we go to the deep rights provision, State Lease A, which is held by lease production, if we had that they had to release 100 feet below the deepest production, then you see on State Lease A what rights would have to be released. On State Lease B, which had unit production, in addition to what they would have to release under the current deferred development language, they would also have to release the deep rights. So in this slide, the green acreage would all have to be released. And on the slide for State Lease A, we have the deep rights would have to be released. But we also, if you notice, now we've actually leased all those deep rights, or released them to another company. Now we have State Lease D, which is where the unit production, and we have the deep rights, or the lease held by lease production, State Lease A, and now we have a State Lease C. And we get a well, the C1 and the D1 drilled. The D1 is unitized. The C1 makes a well, and now we have production on State Lease C in the part. The interval that is producing would be from the base of the deepest producing sand on State Lease A, which is at the A2 well, and I put you 7,000 feet. And then for State Lease C, we now have production and 100 feet below the base of that production, they would have to release. So once again, we get the deep rights released on the lease on the left side of the screen, and now that becomes open acreage. On the right side of the screen, we have unit production, deferred development, so they have to release everything below the production, the unitized sand. So that goes from 8,000, I believe, to 13, I can't read. From 8,000 to 11,000 feet. But you also notice that State Lease B, you see the area is currently held by State Lease B, and you see the area of State Lease A. Now we have a State Lease C that's producing, and we have State Lease D that's producing, and it's holding some acreage. The green crosshatch in State Lease D is all the acreage that they're holding. And if you notice that some of the acreage lies below the depths that are held by State Lease B, and some of the acreage goes all the way from the surface down to 11,000 feet as being held for a portion of State Lease D. The next slide is what normally happens. The State Lease A, the A2 well goes off production, and according to the terms of the lease, they have to release everything below 100 feet below the producing zone. So now they have to release everything below the production in the A1 well. And so you now have a gap in there, which is basically going to be unleased interest because they had to release all this. The same thing on state lease B. The B2 well goes off production. The B2 unit ceases to produce. So now they have to release all of that acreage that is held, and all they can retain is just this unit and 100 feet below the unit. So they have to go to the edge of the unit, and then 100 feet below, everything has to be released. So there we have this new released area, and we have a release here. We have production, state lease A on top, and we have a state lease C here. Here we have state lease B, released area, state lease D, released area. So we've got some things going on that we have to, at this point, we're going to have to track. So down the road, we have open state acreage, we have lease, state lease A, we have open state lease acreage, we have state lease C, and we have open state lease acreage. On the slide, on the leases to the left, to the right, you have state lease B, held with the unit production. This was went off production as part of the B2. Now you have all this is open. You have state lease D, which is held. And that's how it looked. It'd be all rights from surface to 11,000 feet in this area. And here it would go from 8,000 to 11,000 feet. The next side, the lease is held by lease production. You have open, or it's leased, open, leased, unleased. On the leases that were unitized, and our units in Louisiana, I mean, or the majority of the units that are in Louisiana are conservation units. They're based on geology. We do have voluntary units, but I would say by far that the units on our existing state leases are all commissioner's units, which there's an interval that's defined, and there's limits. And these limits aren't, everything's horizontal here, flat, but in real life, you may have the top of the perforations within a sand might be at 9,000 feet, and the water level may be at 9,800 feet. So it's not flat. It could be at whatever angle the structure that exists. So in this simple example, we're just everything being horizontal beds, we have five different tracts with various interests. If we were looking at it from the map view. When you go to the next slide, this is what we're going to end up with. From 8A prime was where that previous line, basically I'm going across that those leases to on the right side. Track one, which is all of this acreage, that's all unleased. That's kind of how we do today. This would be a big unit, and everything outside would be leased. We can see this from a map view. It's easy to visualize. If this was a unit and went off production, then this would become open acreage, and that would be it. We'd request a release for that portion, no problem. With the depth rights provision, now what we're faced with, and just this scenario is just a relatively minor of what could possibly happen. So we have this area is all unleased acreage, no big deal. But now we have this area here, track two, which is now, if you're looking from the map view, some of it's leased, some of it's unleased. You go back here, here's track two, right through here. track three, we get, you know, we now we get leased, unleased, leased, unleased. Everything underneath track three is right here. Leased, unleased, leased. I mean, unleased, and this is unleased also. See, I got my tracks really messed up. Track two would be leased, unleased, leased, unleased. Track four is unleased, leased, unleased. We go back. So this is what we have to deal with. Leased, unleased. Continues, and you're dealing with multiple horizons and different lease status for each horizon, and this will be stacked on top of each other. Right now, the system that we use to track all of these, all our leases, Sunrise would not be able to handle this. The first thing we would have to do is identify the work process that's involved in administering a deep rights lease. We have to identify the inputs, the outputs that we have to work with. When Sunrise was being developed, it took over a year of each division within the department. Excuse me. Each division within the department in working with the IT contractors to identify the workflow, the work process. Right now, the work process we can handle as it is now when we're dealing like from a map view. But when we get into something where we're dealing with things that look like this in a cross-sectional view, we'd have to sit down with the IT people, identify the inputs and outputs in the work process to make sure that we're not going to miss anything. We would have to implement some mapping software where all of this can be overlaid, and you'd have multiple layers, and none of the layers, none of the tracks would look alike. This is not uncommon. We have probably 8 units here. You can look at some of our leases, and we have many units, all different shapes. Texas, Mississippi, all of their units are geographic. It's a whole different environment in Texas and Mississippi. They're dealing on 40-acre squares. Their field-wide units are geographic squares and rectangles. Over here, it could be any shape, whatever the sand, whatever the unit is defined by the commissioner, that's what we're going to be faced with trying to monitor. I don't think we were saying at the last meeting that we're going to, you know, forget about the deep rights provision. But I just think right now in this current lease form, if we want to get it, this lease form off the ground, we're going to have to wait on a deep rights provision. We had industry comments, and there were a lot of comments about deep rights. The current lease form, we grant the exclusive rights to our lessee. That's the exclusive rights to shoot seismic, the exclusive rights to put a location, facilities. We would have to take that out. Now we're going to have 2 leases that we're going to be granting, and they want, you know, ones, in a, you know, we're going to have some operations already out there in the field. We grant a new lease, then we're giving the rights to this new company to come on the lease, drill wells, and to explore. He's going to want to conduct 3D seismic. Well, in marsh areas, they're using dynamite. If I had a facility or if I had a well out there, I don't know how close I'd want this other lessee coming to my well to set off a dynamite charge. Also, the initial lessee having established production, and we grant a new lease for the deep rights, this new lease, the new lessee could actually have to drill through the producing horizons of the current lessee. If something happens, they lose circulation, have a downhole blowout or whatever, drill into a producing sand, overbalanced, shut the other well in, cause damage to the other well, you know, what liabilities would the state be faced with in this scenario? There are just so many things to consider, and especially now with the budget, we're not going to get a new application to replace Sunrise, even though we need one. But right now, that's going to be on hold, and we just felt currently the way things are within the department, there's no way that G&E and the other sections would be able to track these deep rights, what's being released, what's being held, what's open for lease. We just felt like this wasn't the time to do it. So that is the reason why at the last meeting, I think we asked to withdraw the deep rights provision from any lease form.
Mr. Chairman, may I? Chairman, may I? I understand what you're saying. I understand the complexity of it. Well, no, I don't. There's more complex that I can understand. I wasn't quite sure where you were going with all these diagrams because I got lost in diagram number two. But I understand what you're saying. But I also don't understand how the other states can do it and we cannot. And your explanation for that is because of the uniformity of those tracts in other states, I guess, is what you said.
Right.
Right?
Right.
What I don't understand, though, and you tell me, help me through this, and that is, why is it that the lessee still maintains the deep rights when they're not using it? To me, that doesn't make sense. That there ought to be a way that the state can save those deep rights, those natural resources, for itself. Why can't, and I understand the position of the secretary, and I understand what he's saying, we want to get a new lease in place soon. I'm not trying to do damage to that thought process. But why can't we simply say, you know, lessee, you have rights up to X amount of feet, period. And if you don't drill past that, those rights are released to the state to determine at a future date the markability of those rights. Why should we just step back and say, we can't do this because our software doesn't accommodate us at the present time? That to me is not acceptable.
Well, what we were saying is, I can tell a lessee if I got a unit out here and that's the only unit I have, I'm telling them to release everything 100 feet below that producing unit. But that doesn't end there. That's the problem. We lease those deep rights. The next company comes in, drills a well, makes a well, and I tell him, you got to release those rights below that producing sand. Then that's where the problem comes in. Yeah, I mean, tell them to release it, they'll release it. But I got to track it.
You got to track
it. I got to track the production. That well is producing. That lease B is being held. That interval is being held. It goes off production. It goes away. So now I can't just look at the aerial, the plane view, the map view. I got to go find out what depths is this guy holding. And it's a lot of times in the subsurface for geology, you have a sand, and you map in the top of the sand. And you map in the base of the sand, and you ice it packing, and then you go off a mile into another well, or not even a mile, a quarter of a mile away, and you correlate that sand. Well, that sand's gone. So I tell this guy, you got to release everything below the base of the sand. Well, this well here, the sand's gone. Now, I got to determine where the base of that sand, the equivalent point would be. That's the problem. The other, Texas, Mississippi, Oklahoma, they don't unitize by geology. They just have squares on a map, rectangles, some polygon area. If you don't want to be in a unit in Texas, they do mostly volunteer units. If you don't want to be in the unit, you don't sign the unit agreement. You know, I don't know why they wouldn't want to participate, but you don't have to sign the unit agreement. In Louisiana, you have to, for a voluntary unit to be effective, everyone has to sign. So all they're dealing with is squares, 100 feet below this depth. This is the unit. That's all they have to deal with. Here, we have units that are pancake on top of each other. Not all the pancakes are the same shape.
I can understand that, and I understand that.
I mean, I'm just saying that.
I can understand that, but what I can't understand is this. If the lessee knows or suspects where the minerals are, and they got an idea how deep they got to drill, and why could we not put a depth in that lease, give them some leeway, if you will, and the rest of those rights are released to the state to be determined to be marketable at a later time. I mean, I'm not a geologist, obviously. I guess what I'm saying is it would seem to me that would be the reasonable approach. I understand what you're saying about the difference in the geological formations, and I can accept that.
If everything was, squares and rectangles, and you tell them, you release everything below 10,000 feet, and that was our only lease, and then someone came in and leased it, and
my thought would be that it would be released to the state to be determined at a future time about the marketability of those deeper rights.
Well, I mean, if we're going to have, I would prefer just to have that area, the deep rights, under lease, because these people are out there trying to get wells drilled, and if there's a deep prospect, they're trying to promote it. If a company would come in and get a farm out, they'd want the opportunity to drill all depths. They wouldn't want to be limited. If we get them to release the acreage, if I understand what you're saying, if they release the acreage back to us and we're just going to hold on to it because now we have the deep rights, I would prefer to have it out there being marketed by some companies. There's so many things involved. Like I said, we're not saying, forget about deep rights forever, but, if we do this, how are we going to do it? Do we want to do it based on every geological, every sand unit? Do we want to maybe make our divisions larger based on some other format? I don't know. We need something that we can use to track this. We need the software and we need the map, something like the GIS that we currently have within the department. But we need to make these zones readily identifiable in whatever we do. So my recommendation was and it is that, we, for now, not pursue the deep rights provision in the current proposed new lease form.
Any further comments or questions? Next item.
Mr. Chairman, I believe we have 10 minutes before we have 10 minutes prior to the lease sale starting. I don't know if we can go into recess. Is everything else in executive session?
Thank you. Any objection? Hearing none.
We're in recess. All right, I believe we have a 10-minute break before we start the lease sale. Thank y'all. Okay, I'd like to call the order of regular meeting and lease sale. Have a roll call, please.
Mr. Arnold.
Present.
Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Schutz. Mr. Cordero. Mr. Sanders.
Present.
Mr. Smith. Mr. Bruyette. Mr. Klein. Mr. Morton.
Here.
Mr. Lambert. Mr. Hike. Mr. Chairman, we have 8 members present and a quorum.
Thank you. Our first item of business is to approve the September 9, 2015 minutes. I believe everyone received the copy and had a chance to review them. Can I motion to approve, please?
Move to accept those minutes.
Second.
Move, Mr. Kerr. Second, Mr. Sanders. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Hearing none, that motion passes and the minutes are approved. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to recess so we can go back into the committee reports.
I'll move to recess to go back into, I guess, specifically legal and title to finish that agenda.
Correct. And docket review.
And docket review.
Yeah, move by Mr. Gura, second by Mr. Sanders. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed? Hearing none, it is approved. We are in recess. I can make a motion to reopen the legal and title controversy committee.
Move.
Okay, I'll second. Anyone opposed? Hearing none. Legal title is reopened.
Items 4 through 13 are a discussion in executive session for the following suits. Item 4 is Vintage Petroleum Inc. versus State of Louisiana and Plaquemines Parish Government. Docket number 48-788, District A, the 27th JDC in Plaquemines Parish. Item 5 is Hillcore Energy Company et al. Versus the State of Louisiana et al. Docket number 61790, Division B, 25th JDC in Plaquemines Parish. Item 6 is Chevron USA Inc. et al. Versus State of Louisiana et al. Docket number 51-097, Division A, 25th JDC in Plaquemines Parish. Item 7 is Chevron USA Inc. et al. Versus State of Louisiana et al. Docket number 51-098, 25th JDC in Plaquemines Parish. Item 8 is Clayton Williams Energy Inc. versus Plaquemines Parish Government in the State of Louisiana. Docket number 60-073, Division B, 25th JDC in Plaquemines Parish. Item 9 is Imperial Petroleum, Inc. and Hillside Oil and Gas, LLC versus State Mineral Board and Plaquemines Parish Government as the Grand Prairie Levy District, being docket number 56-605 in Division B, 25th JDC, Plaquemines Parish. Item 10 is Hunt Petroleum Corporation and Rosewood Resources, Inc. versus Texas, Inc. et al., docket number 34-592, Division B, 25th JDC, in Plaquemines Parish. Item 11 is Hillcore Energy Company, et al., versus State of Louisiana, et al., docket number 60-827, 25th JDC, in Plaquemines Parish. Item 12 is BHP, Billiton Petroleum Properties, LP et al. Versus Hassel Investment, LLC et al. Docket number 148080, Division A, 26 JDC in Bossier Parish. And finally, item 13, Chesapeake Operating Inc. and Chesapeake Louisiana LP versus the State Mineral and Energy Board of Louisiana, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and William Eaton Kennedy. Docket 138840, Division D, 26 JDC, Bossier Parish.
I make a motion to go to executive session.
Thank you. Any objection? Hear none. Executive session.
Thank you.
Has Linda claimed to the county's missing tool or test? I'm like, well, I sure in the heck don't have it. That I put on the transmitter yesterday.
I'm not going to do that. Just wait. It's not a big deal. That's the way it's complex.
This
is what I call to order the legal entitled controversy committee.
I make a motion to come out of executive session.
I'll second that motion.
Anybody object to that motion?
Second that motion.
No objection. Ready to go. Thank you.
Okay. As to item number four, dealing with a lawsuit entitled Vintage Petroleum, Inc. versus State of Louisiana and Plaquemines Parish Government, Docket 48-788. We request that the board grant authority to the AG's office to make a counteroffer as presented in executive session. Would you want me to take them all at once, or you want to go one by one?
I believe this decision had been made that, or we're going to make a decision to do them individually.
Take them individually, Mr. Fontenot, because they're they have different recommendations for each one.
Right. So item four is a request that the board grant authority to the AG's office to make a counteroffer as presented in executive session.
I make a motion to grant authority.
You're second.
I'll second.
Here's the motion. Any discussion on the motion? Any public comment on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hear none, the motion carries.
Item five is the suit entitled Hillcore Energy Company et al. Versus State of Louisiana et al. Docket number 61-799. Again, it's authority for the board, that the board grant authority to the AG's office to make a counteroffer as discussed in executive session.
I make a motion grant authority to the AG's office.
Chair, second. Chair, here, second. Thank you. Have a second. Any comment, public comment on this motion? Any board comment on the motion? Any objection by the board to the motion? Hear none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Item 6 is Chevron USA, Inc. et al. Versus State of Louisiana, al. Docket number 51-097. We would request the board give authority to the AG's office to accept the offer as presented in executive session.
I'd like to make a motion granting the Attorney General's authority to negotiate.
Do I hear a second? Thank you. Any public comment? Any board comment? Any objection by the board to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Item 7, Chevron USA, Inc. et al. Versus State of Louisiana et al. Docket number 51-098. Request that the board grant authority to the AG's office to accept the offer as presented in executive session.
I'd like to make a motion to allow the Attorney General's office to accept that.
Chair to entertain a second. Thank you. Any public comment on the motion? Objection? Any board comment? Any board objection? Hearing none, the motion carried.
Item number 8 is Clayton Williams Energy, Inc. versus Plaquemines Parish Government and the State of Louisiana, docket number 60-073. They would request that the board grant authority to the AG's office to make a counteroffer as discussed in executive session.
I can make a motion grant authority to the General's office, Attorney General's office.
I have a motion. I have a second. Public comment on this motion? Any board comment? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number 9 is Imperial Petroleum, Inc. and Hillside Oil and Gas, LLC versus State Mineral Board and Plaquemines Parish Government as the Grand Prairie Levy District, being docket item 56-605. Request that the board grant authority to the AG's office to accept the offer as presented in executive session.
Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion allowing to the Attorney General to accept the offer.
Any public comment? Any board comment? Any objection to the motion by the board? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Item number 10 is Hunt Petroleum Corporation and Rosewood Resources, Inc. versus Texas, Inc. et al., docket number 34-592. We request the board grant authority to the AG's office for authority to make a counteroffer as discussed in executive session.
I can make a motion allowing the Attorney General to make a counteroffer.
Thank you. Any public comment? Any board comment? Any objection to the motion by the board? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item 11 is Hillcore Energy Company et al. Versus the State of Louisiana et al. Docket number 60-827. And we are asking the board to grant authority to the AG's office to accept, grant them authority to accept the offer that was discussed in executive session.
I'd like to make a motion to allow the Attorney General's office to accept the motion, to accept the offer.
Second. Thank you. Public comment on this motion? Board comment? Any board objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item 12 is BHB Billiton Petroleum Properties, LP et al. Versus Castle Investment, LLC et al. Docket number 148080. This is for informational purposes only, and no action is needed on item 12. Item number 13 is Chesapeake Operating, Inc. and Chesapeake, Louisiana, LP versus the State Mineral and Energy Board of Louisiana, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and William Eaton Kennedy, docket number 138840. We're requesting the board grant authority to the AG's office to enter into negotiations as discussed in executive session.
Chair to entertain a motion.
I'm going to make a motion allowing the Attorney General's office to enter into negotiations.
Chair, second. Yes. Second. Any public comment? Any board comment on the motion? Any board objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
And that will complete it.
Thank you very much, sir.
That is it. Thank you.
Any other business of the committee?
Docket review, committee roll call, Mr. Hike, Mr. Martin. Mr. Sanders.
Here.
Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Arnold. And Mr. Schutz.
Here.
We have a quorum. I hereby designate Mr. Dennis to please present the agenda.
Good morning. The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the October 14th, 2015 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve items number one and item number two. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number one through items number six. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers, there were no items submitted for this category. For Category D, advertised proposals, there were no items received for this category. And this will complete the staff's recommendation to the docket review committee.
Thank you. Are there any board questions? Any public questions at this time?
I make a motion to accept the staff's recommendations.
I have a motion for Mr. Arnold. Second. For Mr. Segura to approve and accept the reports, reviews, and recommendations by the staff. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. I need a motion to adjourn the
review committee. Move to adjourn.
I have a motion for Mr. Segura, a second for Mr. Schutz. The doctorate review committee is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to take a motion to reconvene the regular meeting in lease sale. Move by Mr. Segura, second by
Move.
Mr. Smith. Any comments or questions from the public or our board? Anyone opposed? Hearing none. We're back in a regular meeting in lease sale. Item three is the adoption of committee recommendations. Item A, lease review committee. B, nomination and track committee. C, audit committee. D, legal title controversy committee. And E, the docket review committee. Can I have a motion to approve those reports?
I'll move.
Move by Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Sanders. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to that motion? Hearing none, that motion carries. Item four is to go to executive session for technical briefing. Can I have a motion? Motion to go to executive session, please.
Move.
Move by Mr. Schutz, second by Mr. Segura. Any comments or questions from the public or the board? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, we're in executive session. Thank you. I'd like to set a motion to come out of executive session.
Move to come out of executive session.
Move by Mr. Gurr, second by Mr. Sanders. Anyone opposed to us coming out of executive session? Here are none. We're out of executive session. Can we have our staff recommendations, please? Victor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The staff recommends that all of the bids received on the tracks be accepted.
Thank you. I've heard the staff's report and recommendation. Is there a motion to accept?
Move to accept.
Move by Mr. Gore, second by Mr. Sanders. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there anyone opposed to accepting the recommendations and awarding the leases? Here are none. They are awarded. Announcements?
Yes, first announcement is next month the board meeting will actually be on a Thursday instead of a Wednesday. The board meeting will be Thursday, November 12th at the regular times due to Wednesday, November 11th being a state holiday. The deadline for bid submission will remain 12 noon on Tuesday, the 10th. And just want to make a special note of that because it's very rare we have a board meeting on a day other than Wednesday. Also, he's gone, but today was the last board meeting for Mike Windham, who's our liaison with the Office of Wildlife, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and the staff wanted to express appreciation to him for the excellent working relationship we've had over the years and wish him well in his retirement. And finally, the total for today's lease sale is $96,492.38, bringing the fiscal year-to-date total to just over $3.6 million.
Thank you. There would be no further items on the agenda. I'd like a motion to adjourn, please.
Move,
move by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Segura. Any comments or questions from the board?
Mr.
Any comments or questions from the public? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, we are adjourned.